Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini 232. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean. We're middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going?
Well, Ooh, good girl.
Is that you? Good one, I think I had some good ones last time. But
starting off right, man.
Yeah.
How's that gurgle? I mean, how's it going?
I was thinking, does your tooth hurt too? Because 232?
No.
No, that's what she, that's not a good dentistry joke. No.
No.
That's all right.
Well, I'm back for my our mini.
Yes, so you are.
Yeah.
You're back.
Heck yeah.
Missed two fulls and two minis, so now I'm back in full action.
We have no punishment here. There's no punishment.
Well, that's good.
All I know 40 is we're having a good time.
Yeah. I definitely needed it. That's for sure. I hated to miss, but yeah.
Yeah, we understand.
So anyway, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Mini time.
There's a lot of gurgling going on.
What?
It's all Nate. He's
what is going on?
He's
here?
I have no idea.
He's like a coffee machine over there. He's percolating.
Yeah.
It's the demon trying to get out.
I hear that.
I have to ask. So before we get into this topic, I know this is going to take a beard off just a little bit. Did you enjoy the fish sticks thing?
That was fun.
So after we got done, we were getting tired and slap happy. And I don't know what fish sticks just got us, but we were just like, we couldn't think of anything but Gorton's after that.
Because you had told me through Messenger about fish sticks. I'm like, okay, I have no idea why.
You got the giggling, I think.
So when I heard it, I was like, that was fun. That was good.
Couldn't let that one go.
That was good.
I wanted to go home and have fish sticks. I really did.
I love fish sticks. I have fish sticks at home.
I haven't had fish sticks in forever.
Oh, I know.
Oh, man. Mm. Yeah. I've got two or three types at home. Some are good. Some are not so good.
Yeah, that's true.
There can be some crappy ones, but no, that was funny. So, well, let's get right to it, shall we? Sean, what are we talking about for this mini episode?
Ooh, this one's my pick, and it is Mother Shipton. I said ship, right?
Ship.
And if interested, please go check out our show notes for the source links we use for this topic.
Mm. How'd you come up with Mother Shipton?
You know, I don't know. It's like anything else.
I've never heard of Mother Shipton.
I want to say that it was because, who knows, social media, the way it comes up, it starts like reading your mind and what you need. So I do these, you know, all these like, you know, looking up all this stuff and like other things you might like. And she's a pretty kooky girl. I've heard of her before, but I didn't know much about her. But a totally interesting historical figure who may not even have been a historical figure, as I understand from some of these videos. I say that she was, though. Mother Shipton and her prophecies. So Ursula, with a name like that, she had to have existed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Known as Mother Shipton, is famous for her prophecies. Within her lifetime, she had several premonitions about some of the largest historical events to take place in England, such as the Great Fire of London and the Spanish Armada.
Hmm. She was born a long time ago, by the
way. Yes, mm-hmm. 1487.
Mm. Oh, I've got 88.
Hmm. Well,
ooh,
see, so maybe
that's
14
why they,
year.
Yeah, that's why they're like, we're not
1487 and a half.
It sounds made up already.
Who is this?
I notice when you look her up, there's a picture that comes up.
She's an old hag.
Yeah.
And the picture I'm looking at says that it's a portrait of her with a monkey. It does not look like a monkey.
Maybe it's her hunchback.
But they say it's a monkey.
Hmm. Huh.
I don't know. It's
sounds
weird.
Like it's your soothsaying monkey. I don't know.
It does not look like a monkey.
It says here.
Maybe it was her husband. She did have a husband at one point.
It says Mother Shipton was born Ursula Santiel.
Yeah, I had a hard time with that one too.
And this one, like I said, says 1488. During the reign of Henry VII, father of Henry VIII, although little is known about her parents, legend has it that she was born during a violent thunderstorm in a cave on the banks of the River Nid in Knaresborough. Knaresborough. Mm-hmm. Her mother, Agatha, was just 15 years old when she gave birth, and despite being dragged before the local magistrate, she would not reveal who the father was. Wow. Mm. So that's kind of a crazy start to life, I guess.
The cave is now known as Mother Shipton's Cave.
Wow, that's a...
No kidding.
Wow, what a name.
Totally serious.
How they come up with that?
So supposedly she was she was deformed, and she had a hunchback, or she was gnarled or something. And back in those days, if you had a deformity like that, you were seen as like touched by the devil, and you were unholy. And they say there were stories about her as a child or young woman, and they would just, and even church folk mm-hmm. would hurl insults at her, make fun of her, and like tell her, you know, she's the devil. And they said that she a lot of times would just ignore them. And they said the reason that they thought that she was into witchcraft and all this stuff is because things would start happening to the people who made fun of her. And like she was just ignoring them and getting back with them, you know, turn them, you know, what their sandwich into a toadstool or something like that, you know, just simple things. And then she eventually got married, and they think that she put a spell on her husband, because there's no way that his name was Shipton. That's how she got the name Shipton, I guess. And so they seemed happy, and people treated her more respectfully since she was married. And then he passed away and died. Then they went back to ostracizing her, and that's when she moved to the cave, because she's like, well, forget this. And she's more comfortable in the cave doing her own mm-hmm. witchy things and telling her those prophecies and all that kind of stuff came out.
They say that she is a witch, and one story is a king and his men were said to have been transformed to stone after failing her test.
Oops.
Hmm. Wonder what the test was.
Don't know. That one I didn't hear.
Wow.
Don't fail her test. Well, it's like a
note to self. What
was the test that they did to see if you're a witch, tie you to a chair and throw you in a pond or mm-hmm. something?
Yeah.
If you sank, you weren't a witch.
If you drowned, she wasn't a witch.
Yeah, either way, you're screwed.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
It doesn't turn out well either way. It's like, wow. I mean, I get it. It was a long time ago, but you'd think they'd have some type of common sense. I don't know. They're just so backwards. Just insane how they treated people. Not that we treat people great nowadays, but a little better. Yeah, Mother Shipton. What you got?
He found something good.
Wow. Ursula's mother, Agatha, was a poor and dissolute 15-year-old orphan left with no means to support herself. Having fallen under the influence of the devil, Agatha engaged in an affair, resulting in the birth of Ursula.
Oops.
Oh, boy.
Variations of this legend claimed Agatha herself was a witch and summoned the devil to conceive a child.
Going on with this.
But she wouldn't tell the father's identity, so that's what made everybody say, well, it's got to be the devil, right? So it says her destitute mother was thought to be herself an orphan, lacked the ability to support her daughter. It says she refused to give any details of the fathership, became ostracized from the local community, and thus Ursula too was shunned. But like I said, they also said that she was deformed supposedly. So some believe the child's conception was the work of the devil, like you said, Nate, with many accusing Agatha of being a witch. Accusations of witchcraft in early medieval Europe were not uncommon and often affected women who, for whatever reason, were living alone or were without family or friends. Oftentimes they were the smarter people, right? Even under pressure from the local magistrate, Agatha refused to tell anyone who fathered the child. After being forced into isolation in the forest of Knaresborough, young Agatha alone and without any means to support herself, left alone a child, raised Ursula in a cave on the banks of the River Nid, like you said, Todd. This says, adding to the scrutiny and scaremongering, the cave in which she sheltered contained a pool, which was well known amongst locals for being shaped like a skull. The ostracized couple would be forced into a bleak existence in the middle of the woodland, far away from judgmental eyes and the local rumor mill.
They said that the effects of the cave's pool would turn you to stone or turn things to stone.
No, really.
But what they're saying is more, probably more the process of stalactites being formed. Mm-hmm. So anything left in the cave, you know, the water and minerals would drip on it and everything,
yeah,
and more or less turn it into a stone.
Yeah, that makes sense. Says here, as she grew into adulthood, Ursula used her knowledge of herbs and plants to be and plants to become a herbalist and started to gain the trust of the local people. Cunning folk often held great credibility in small rural communities, and Ursula appeared to be a successful healer. She also met and married a local carpenter called Toby Shipton, which we've talked about. But because of her hideous appearance, though, the locals marveled that she managed to find someone to marry her. It's not nice. There were rumors that she must have bewitched him. Only 2 years into their marriage, however, Toby died, and immediately the town turned against Ursula, accusing her of having bewitched him to death. She moved back to the cave in Knaresborough that she was born in and continued her herbalist business from there, gaining quite the reputation nationwide. Proof of her existence is in the letter from King Henry VIII to the Duke of Norfolk in 1537. He refers to as a witch of York, and it is believed this refers to Mother Shipton.
Mm. You know, they said her appearance and behavior was said to be said to have been strange and so attracted much ridicule from the townspeople. She had a twisted body and a large crooked nose, which led many people to openly tease her, and even so when she was just a child.
Don't forget about the bulging eyes, too.
Bulging eyes. Of course, they're bulging.
Terrible. Poor thing.
I know.
Like, geez. Yeah.
This is funny. When she was 24, Ursula and Tobias married. She became Mrs. Shipton, leading to consternation from others who were so surprised that she had asked, or that he had asked her to marry her, that some claimed she had been put under spell. A month after their marriage, Ursula helped out a neighbor who had some items of clothing stolen from her home. The following day, a woman went walking through the town singing, "I stole my neighbor's smock and coat. I am the thief," before handing it over to Shipton and leaving with a curtsy. So they think that she, because they said that Mother Shipton said, "Oh, I know who stole it." And they're like, "Well, who?" And she's like, "Oh, I'll get to the bottom of it." And so basically just, you know, put this hex on the lady, like, "Oh, you know, come forward and say that you stole it." And this lady just did, in a very weird and, you know, funny way, like singing around and dancing and like, "Here it is."
Yeah.
So it's very strange.
So this, real quick, Nate, I would say this, this website I'm on calls her the OG witch. She's the OG.
OG. Some of the prophecies that she is known for.
Yeah.
It seemed like she's always like prophesizing like the end of the earth or end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there is a famous rhyme from her prophecies. The world to an end shall come in 1881. That was one of them. Then some, they predicted with some of her writings that the world would end in 1991. And then
supposedly the 1881 was some guy that like totally just used her name and came out and like said, "Oh, I just used it."
Yeah, he composed the rhyme.
Because after she died and they had all these stories and things that supposedly were true that she had predicted, then they came out with all these Mother Shipton prophecies, and they just, it was almost for political gain. Like, hey, if I want to make myself credible, somebody that's eventually she was respected as like this wise woman who, you know, was a person of the earth and the herbs and all that stuff. And so that she was trusted throughout, you know, as history kind of went on, which is kind of interesting. They said King Henry VIII like feared her too, you know, and like really respected what she said.
Then another one of her prophecies accounts that the world would end 1981. So everything seems to be ending with one.
Apparently.
Yeah. And incorrect.
Yes. Because we are still...
We're here.
Thriving and going.
Huh. Hmm. Well, she gave it a shot. She tried.
She did.
Yeah. And who's to say that something significantly changed for somebody during that time period or whatever? Maybe not the entire world would end, but maybe something ended.
Yeah.
Be interesting maybe to research that and see what kind of significant things happened.
Says here, she started with small occurrences that would happen locally before moving on to larger predictions with greater ramifications. One such local prediction involved a prophecy that water would come over Ouse Bridge and reach a windmill that would be sent on a tower. Okay. Another of Mother Shipton's local prophecies included the destruction of Trinity Church, which would fall in the night till the highest stone in the church be the lowest stone of the bridge. Not long after the statement, a terrible storm fell upon Yorkshire, destroying the steeple of the church and causing it to land upon the bridge. Said these prophecies increased her public profile to the extent that even King Henry VIII referenced Mother Shipton in a letter to the Duke of Norfolk. Hmm. So, and it said, as her reputation grew, so too did belief in her abilities, enabling her to make a living out of her prophecies. Mm-hmm. So
that's cool. Yeah, like they said that King Henry VIII referencing Mother Shipton in a letter to the Duke of Norfolk, in which he mentions a witch of York. So yeah. He was apparently well aware of her. It says, as her reputation grew, so did the belief in her abilities. Like you said, her predictions would extend to some of the most important people in the land, including King Henry VIII himself and his right-hand man at the time, Thomas Wolsey. One of her prophecies, she refers to Wolsey as the mitred peacock's lofty cry, it shall be to his master's, shall to his master be a guide. Mm. This description alludes to Wolsey's lower class background as the son of a butcher before he rose to become a chief advisor to King Henry and guide his policymaking.
Oh, I see.
And then they came out with a pamphlet of all of her prophecies back in 1641. They said that was the oldest recorded collection of all of her prophecies.
There is a sculpture of her in the cave.
I saw that.
That's cool, isn't it? I did see that.
Looks like it's kind of climbing out of the wall there.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, this is when you gave me the topic, I'm like, Mother Shipton. Okay, who in the heck? So then when I looked into it, I'm like, huh. Okay, this is,
She's just she is literally like a historical witch. And like there were some of
these. It goes so far back. That's the
some
thing.
Of these like videos say that it's disputing whether she was really a person or whether she was more than one person or, you know, whatever, or whether she was some kind of a myth. But it's interesting no matter what it is, right?
Yeah. If it's just legend, I mean, still, yeah, interesting.
It said she foresaw that Thomas Woolery's fate at the time of his demise after he had fallen out of favor after failing to secure the annulment of Henry VIII's marriage to Catherine of Aragon. On a journey between London and New York, he died from natural causes, a point which Mother Shipton had made when she claimed that Wolsey would never reach his destination. While her mysticism proved unnerving for some, in such a high-profile case such as predicting Cardinal Wolsey's fate or the ensuing dissolution of the monasteries by Henry VIII, her status and fame reached dizzying new heights. So, yeah, that's how she gained more notoriety.
Yeah.
Yeah, she prophesied for Wolsey. It says, the mitred peacock's lofty cry shall be his master, or to his master be a guide.
Yep.
Which is how Woolley's lower class background of a son of a butcher, and he rose to be the chief of advisor to King Henry.
That's right.
So
okay.
That's fun to read, isn't it?
Yes. Very hard to read.
Say that again.
Let's say it one more time.
Nope.
Agreed, Mr. the door, right? It says at the age of 73, she died, but the memory of her unusual life and powers continued to be talked about long after she was gone. Indeed, an account of Mother Shipton's life and prophecies was published in 1641, 80 years after her death.
Wow.
It's sad. I mean, she came. It says Mother Shipton had lived a difficult life, dominated by ridicule and suspicion. However, her mystical skills rescued her from her status as a social pariah, and today has placed her firmly within the pages of English folklore and legend.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
true, not folklore, legend. It's cool. And the fact that she's there's a cave called Mother Shipton's Cave. So, I mean, come on.
How did they come up with that name?
It's got to be true.
Mother Shipton's Cave. All right.
That does not look like a monkey, right?
No, yeah.
That's a shadow person right there. It looks like... Oh, darn. There it is.
Yeah.
It does not look like a monkey.
No.
It's weird. It looks like a little man.
Anything else on Mother Shipton? Do we have anything else?
Foretold historical events from Henry VIII to the Great Fire of London.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yep.
Didn't know that.
Hmm.
It's crazy.
Yep. Yeah, she's a very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd she's say. A witch. Burn her. Build a bridge out of her.
Yeah, that's quite the legend. I'll just say legend.
Like you said, the OG mm-hmm. witch.
Whether it's real or not.
Yeah, for sure.
This says, for in those wondrous far-off days, the women shall adopt a craze to dress like men and trousers wear, and to cut off their locks of hair, they'll ride astride with brazen brow and witch, as witches do on broomsticks now.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds made up, but whatever. She was a soothsayer.
Oh.
And a feared prophetess.
Yeah, prophetess.
Prophetess. Mm. Hmm. I like it, though. It's cool.
Yeah.
Hmm. Seemed like a lot of her stuff was written in rhyme.
Just so to make it hard to read.
Anybody want a peanut? No, that's it. That's a whole other thing.
Mm. Yeah, the way that they talked back then is
mm-hmm.
a little hard to read right now. Yeah. All right, we got...
We got through the Mother Shipton.
We got through Mother Shipton.
We did.
Old hag.
Nate, be nice.
Or nobody else was, right?
Hag and a crone. What do you have for us?
She's going to turn you into a newt, right?
This ship is sailed.
Oh, jeez.
That's a wrap.
Oh, man. That was too easy. Too easy, but that's still good. Thanks, Nate, and we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our Middle-Aged Mini 232 and our discussion on Mother Shipton. So until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See ya.